and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning, Sovereign Mind!
Wow.
Boom!
Boom, shakalaka, laka, boom.
Boom!
Sunday once again, May 17th. Feel like you're in the middle of a war zone, maybe a little bit these days.
Kind of like Twilight Zone.
Yeah, I'm thinking so. We do have our guest on the line.
We do.
So we want to introduce our guest as Mr. Jerome Corsi, Dr. Corsi. He is a best-selling author of 25 books since 2004, 6 on the New York bestseller list, and 2 number one New York Times bestseller on the New York Times bestseller list. And he's the founder and CEO of CorsiNation.com. Are you with us there, Mr. Corsi?
I'm right here. Thank you. Good to
be morning.
With you.
Good to have you back.
Been a while.
A lot of things have happened since the last time we spoke.
That's right.
Unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, when I say I think we're in the middle of a war zone, I think I'm not too far off the mark. What say you?
Well, I think this is a. I've been convinced from the beginning it was a biological weapon, the COVID-19, and I've been writing lately. If you'll read CorsiNation.com, I'm very concerned there'll be a COVID-20, and a lot of hints have been given out about it. And I pretty well, I think, figured out what COVID-20 could look like. And if it combines AIDS, which this virus has started to do, but a full AIDS attack with an attack on your lungs, which is the SARS component of the attack, that's the severe acute respiratory disorder. It would ultimately kill a lot more people than this virus, and it would be a very dangerous virus. And I've been writing that from the pieces I've been able to put together, I think that Putin and the Chinese are definitely behind this. And if I'm right, we could have COVID-20 in September. And I'm trying to warn people that I think the only precaution that makes any sense at all, and that's what the doctors tell me, is this hydroxychloroquine and zinc protocol, which the government is now demeaning and ridiculing, even though it's a 70-year-old medication, hydroxychloroquine.
Yeah, it seems like they're suppressing it, and why? You know, because from all reports that I've seen, and I've seen many, is that it actually works within 4 or 5 hours. There's a huge difference in the patient's
recovery
symptoms and so forth. Yeah, I mean, I guess it works.
In my own family, I've seen, I'm not a medical doctor, but on CorsiNation.com, we do a lot of interviewing of the doctors, so that's really where the opinions come from. And it's clear that these doctors are telling us, and I've seen it, one of the members of our family got COVID-19. She works in the health industries, and she was in really bad shape. I thought going to have to go to the emergency room, the hospital, unable to really breathe, and we got a doctor to prescribe hydroxychloroquine and zinc, and within a matter of hours, she was feeling better. Within a week, she went back to work. I mean, I could not have imagined that when I saw how ill she was, and so I've seen it, and I created this program, Telemed, T-E-L-E-M-D, and CorsiNation.com, I partnered with a group that allows you to get a telephone call from an MD who is licensed in your state. And the MDs in this program under CorsiNation.com are favorable towards hydroxychloroquine and can prescribe it and the zinc for you, and including any antibiotics you might need if they deem it's necessary for you. It's not a program to buy the drugs, but you do get a consultation with a doctor, and the medications, if prescribed, can be sent to you by a pharmacy which can legally write those prescriptions, and you can get them to your door next day.
Wow, that's cool.
That was one of my questions, because here in California, my understanding was you couldn't even get a hold of it.
In California, I think, is one of the states where the pharmacies have been instructed not to fulfill hydroxychloroquine mm-hmm. prescriptions for COVID. Now, they fulfilled them for malaria or for lupus or for rheumatoid arthritis, and they're still available. But for some reason, the government has decided to, put everybody worrying about this heart issue, which is really a very, very rare condition. And even people, I've interviewed the doctors, heart doctors, who say they, it can occur, this QT interval prolongation, but in very, very few cases, such that when you're prescribed hydroxychloroquine chronically every day for years for lupus or rheumatoid arthritis, there's no requirement that you first do an EKG. It's a matter of looking at your clinical history, and if you've got an arrhythmia problem, well, then maybe it could be a concern. But, I mean, so few people, even with heart ailments, have arrhythmia problems that this is, I think, really a scare tactic on the part of the government. I can't figure out, except that the medical establishment, Dr. Fauci and the others, are holding out for a vaccine and, a multi-billion-dollar solution from big pharmacy. But we've never had a vaccine successfully developed for AIDS, and that's 30 years now. And I don't think there's going to be a virus that, like coronavirus or AIDS. They mutate too fast, and there's no way I think you're going to get a successful vaccine.
Well, and it doesn't seem to be, the hype doesn't seem to be equal to the amount of government tyranny and overreach that they're implementing of the disease. The cure is going to be worse than the illness here, the way they're going on the economy. And, I mean, and you have to ask yourself a question. Why would they prevent a cure from getting to the people? I mean, it's not just an accident. This seems to me that there's a strategy here. I can't see anything else. What say you?
Well, if you take a look at a book that was written in 1990 by a reporter called Bruce Nussbaum, Nussbaum, called Good Intentions, he documented the late 80s and early 90s, the AIDS crisis, and Dr. Fauci had the same position he has today with the NIH and with the CDC, and he did the same thing. He demonized doctors who had various available medications they wanted to try and were seeming to have success with combating AIDS, and he wouldn't let them really get those drugs approved. He demonized them and held out for a big pharmacy solution. Eventually, this company, Burroughs Wellcome, produced AZT, which is a billion-dollar pharmaceutical drug for AIDS. And again, I'm not sure that was the best solution, because these other possibilities really never got tried. They didn't get a fair trial. And Fauci had no intention of giving them a fair trial.
Well, I think he's part of the deep state, as far as I can tell from all the reports that I'm getting, as far as, it's about money. He's seems like he's in league with Gates on some of these things and profiting from the vaccines if it goes through, or where's his money coming from. And there's also rumors that he sent money to China, to the Wuhan labs to begin with.
Well, I think he sent money to a group that then funded Wuhan, and that's been pretty well documented. And he holds patents on various remedies for that involve some of the elements from HIV that are already mapped into COVID-19. In particular, this glycoprotein 120, which is in the spike of the COVID-19. It's from the HIV-1 pathogen, and it enters into the cells more effectively. It's why this one of the reasons why this particular COVID-19 is more dangerous. If they take and map in the rest of the components that Fauci's identified from HIV into a COVID-20, you're going to have a very, very dangerous virus. And I'm afraid that could be on the horizon. That's what I'm beginning to warn people with my articles and writing that I'm doing at CorsiNation.com.
Well, and so where do you think they're going? I mean, I just watched a video from OAN that says basically these guys are trying to use this virus as a way to, I mean, Bill Gates even has it stated out in front of his place up there in Seattle that, you know, they're trying to reduce the population. I mean, is that, do you think that has credibility?
I think it does. I certainly am not anxious to take a virus funded by Bill Gates who says he wants to reduce the population. That's not a particularly encouraging idea, producing a vaccine. And the vaccine he produced in, to combat polio that he had brought to India actually caused a polio epidemic, and they threw him out of India.
Well, I just heard last night, I don't know if you've heard this, what's going on in Italy, and I've done a little bit of research on it, but they are evidently wanting to charge or are bringing charges now against Bill Gates, because they've, for crimes.
Using them kind of as tests.
I'm looking at it right here on USA News. Italian politicians demands Bill Gates arrest for crimes against humanity. I mean, that seems pretty plain to me.
I think it should be done. And I think Fauci's headed in the same direction. I mean, if you take and this Dr. Stephen Hahn, who heads the FDA, the FDA put out this warning and saying that dangers of using hydroxychloroquine or chloroquine for COVID-19, but yet they continue to approve hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine for use in malaria, in rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Now, you're not going to convince me that the people who are susceptible to COVID are somehow different from these other people who get lupus or rheumatoid arthritis, and yet there's no warning about this QT interval issued by Dr. Hahn or the FDA for those people. So it's just clearly political. I mean, that doesn't even make logical sense, let alone
science. I'm coming to the conclusion that Bill Gates is a madman. I mean, or something's wrong, because here's a quote. This is a quote from one of his speeches, a direct quote. If we do a good job on vaccines, health and reproduction, we can reduce the world population by 10 to 15%. Only genocide can save the world. What? We have to go to a break, Mr.
Yes,
Corsi.
Yes, we do. Could you please hold, and we'll
sure,
pick you
I'll
up on the
you.
Other. Oh, great. If you want to call in and have a question or comment, give us a call, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
This is the music of a people who will not be slaves again. When the beating of your heart echoes the beating of the drums, there is a life about to start when tomorrow comes. We'll join our crusade, who will be strong and stand with me. Beyond the barricade, is there a world you long to see?
Then join in the fight that will give you the right to be free.
Do you hear the people sing, singing the song?
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Shasta College has been a vital part of this community for over 70 years. Look around. You probably know many of our successful graduates serving our community in high-demand, high-growth fields like nursing, law enforcement, accounting, communications, and agriculture. Summer enrollment is happening now. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply to enroll for the summer semester. Classes start June 8th. Looking for a transfer? Save money and time by spending your first 2 years at Shasta College before you transfer to a university. High school students, summer is the perfect time to earn college credit with no tuition cost. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply.
No tuition cost. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply.
Radio, yeah, I think a lot of people have too much time on their hands. And, whoa.
And we are criminals, according to the government.
Yeah.
You know?
It's kind of like the Nazis.
It's crazy.
Kind of like the Nazis calling the Jews criminals, you know?
Yeah,
what I'm
doing, yeah.
Unbelievable. Anyway, we're back here with Mr. Corsi, Jerome Corsi, best-selling author. And where were we?
Well, we do have a caller on the line.
Okay.
We've got Jackie. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning.
You got
what
a question?
What if the government tries to make everybody, school children and people living in senior residences, take the vaccine? Are we legally able to refuse?
Well, I don't think it's a matter of legal or not legal, but I'll let Mr. Corsi answer it. Go ahead.
Well, I don't see how the government's going to do a mandatory vaccination. If they do, it's really the first step towards totalitarianism. I think people have got to be given a choice. And it doesn't make any sense to me that the government's now going to, you know, what are they going to insist upon next?
You know, I know, it's a bit scary for me.
I just can't see it. I mean, I'm already upset about the nursing homes that people are not allowed in to see their parents who are elderly. And this is not America. And
I agree wholeheartedly with you. That's why I appreciate this program and your information, too. Thank you so very much. God bless.
My pleasure. God bless.
Thanks for calling, Jackie. We appreciate it.
Well, at some point in time, the people are going to have to stand up, but they're already starting to. You're starting to see everything start to flip because you can't force people to not have control of their own bodies. I mean, it doesn't matter what the deal is. And, you know, this thing has been contrived to the point of stupidity anyway when you look at the numbers. I mean, we're shutting down everything. We're shutting down schools. And the program earlier was talking about that in order for you to have an emergency, it has to overwhelm the system. Well, the hospitals are there's nobody in them. I mean,
right.
There's so this whole thing has been trumped up and contrived and as a way to I think it's an experiment to see who's going to comply. What do you think?
Well, I'm very upset about it too. I mean, first of all, you have Dr. Fauci and these others coming into President Trump's office and say, you know, 2 million people are going to die if you don't do exactly what we tell you. And, of course, Donald Trump's not a medical doctor. What's he supposed to do? And then we find out their mathematical model was completely rigged, that everything that Fauci said so far has been wrong, and far fewer people. I mean, we can't keep everybody alive. The final analysis, we're all going to die. And the point is, people die every day. Now, yes, it makes sense to follow sensible rules in terms of health. But the point is, I'm not sure the contamination, all this whole quarantine, is keeping us from getting infected. You find that the majority of the infections right now are coming from two places, the nursing homes and people who are in quarantine, not leaving their houses. Well, you know, the people in the nursing home aren't leaving. And, again, I think the only defense we've got is our natural immunity, or maybe something like hydroxychloroquine and zinc, which help us build our immunity. But you're not going to get a stronger immunity system by locking yourself up in a closet.
Right.
Well, and I don't trust anything these guys are doing on the numbers as far as the testing. I mean, Pelosi came out the other day and said, testing, 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 more testing. Well, if these guys are going to skew the numbers to begin with, are they going to skew the testing as well? I mean, I don't trust anything these guys do.
The testing doesn't work. You know, there's a lot of different issues about the testing. This virus takes a while to incubate, and you could be infected before there's either symptoms or before it's measured by a test. And, you know, the tests we're getting so far, I think, indicate millions more were infected than are reported, because with this virus, people could, especially if they were younger and healthier, they could get the virus and not be particularly sick. I said that about this virus in the very beginning, and I suspect that it's a setup for a more lethal virus coming down the pike, and now we're all conditioned. We have to run into quarantine, which destroys the economy. I think, you know, the history of the world is you keep going and you fight the virus, and yes, some people are going to die, but you're really not going to save that many more. You might create more problems by locking down the economy and, you know, having a totalitarian state that forces you into your home.
Well, and, you know, people are dying anyway. I mean, the causes of death are, you know, the major causes of death in the world are, this virus is at the bottom of the list. I mean, people die every day of a lot of things. And so you can't just shut down the world and say, well, we'd rather die of starvation than have a chance of dying of a virus.
Well, why aren't they educating the people how to boost their immune system so that they don't contract these kind of diseases or viruses? They're not doing any of that.
That's certainly not the medical establishment in Washington. I think we now understand from this virus that the corruption in the NIH, the CDC, the big pharmacy, the money, corrupts this bureaucracy the same way we saw the State Department corrupted in the Ukraine hearings that Adam Schiff was holding in the House, when one after the other these State Department people came in and said President Trump ought to be impeached because he didn't follow their interagency consensus on what policy should be with regards to Ukraine. Well, State Department isn't anywhere in the Constitution, and the CDC and the NIH are not even fully governmental organizations. They're 501c3 structures where they're public-private. They're only quasi-governmental, and yet we treat these people as gods, and they think they themselves are unelected in charge of health policy, and the president has to listen to them. I think we ought to move all the entire federal bureaucracy to Death Valley, and we'd be better off.
And with that, we do have a caller on the line. We've got Bob. Good morning, Bob.
Well, good morning, Linda. Good morning, Mark and Mr. Corsi.
You got a question or comment for Mr. Corsi?
Well, I got a comment for Mr. Corsi. I would like to know how a doctor scientist like Fauci and Brex can be on a government's top number one people to let the government and the people know what's going on, is wrong as they are at everything since Bill Clinton, that's when they got hired, to today with Donald Trump, and they never told us the truth, and they say one thing one day and one thing another. How can they keep their job? I'd like to know, because if you worked in the public sector and you made that many mistakes, you'd never have a job. I'll take my question off the air.
All right.
You.
Thanks,
have a
Bob.
Great day.
Well, I think I'll second what he said. I wonder the same thing. And I think the answer is that these bureaucrats get these comfortable Georgetown Beltway positions Then they get co-opted by the deep state. They make money. Big pharmacy comes in and tells them what to think. And they manage their careers. I don't recall that Dr. Fauci or Dr. Blix have ever, or Bricks have ever practiced medicine. I'm much more interested in a doctor like Dr. Zelenko, who's got a couple thousand patients in New York, and he's treating them with hydroxychloroquine and saying, look, I'm seeing this stuff is working.
Right.
That's not a randomized trial. It's just an anecdotal experience. Well, if I take a hammer and I hit myself in the head and it hurts, I don't do that again. If I take that hammer and hit a nail into a board and it goes in, that's anecdotal, but I'm going to keep doing it.
Well, it's ridiculous. It really is. I mean, and there's the doctor in France that started the treatment, I believe, with the hydroxychloroquine. And his success rate was like 98%, another interesting point is, and I haven't verified this, is that I don't think there's been any lockdown in Tokyo, and they're not having near the problem that we're having at all. And so it makes you wonder, is this thing even real as far as the numbers and the logic? Because people are getting paid to report from the federal government or the state governments that they're dying of the COVID.
Well, yeah, they're labeling everything.
Everything's getting labeled as a COVID death, whether it is or not.
Well, I agree with you again. And then you give this guy Fauci a press conference every day where he can come to the White House and pontificate to the president in front of all the press. And though he starts going on a power trip, and doesn't make any difference that what he says today is different than what he said yesterday, and none of it's ever worked. None of his models and predictions have been right. And now he wants to hold out for a vaccine, and we're going to have a vaccine czar. Well, 30 years ago, Fauci said he was going to have a vaccine for AIDS, and he never produced one. And today he's got his name on patents on key elements, this glycoprotein 120 that's in the HIV AIDS disease. He's got, and that it shows up in COVID-19, and I don't get any explanation for him why he was studying that protein and suddenly it ends up in the new virus. I mean, these are the kinds of questions that I want answered.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm at a little bit of a loss for words here because it just seems like there's an agenda here. And I mean, Trump talks about the silent war, and I think this is bigger than just a war against the virus. I think it's a war against an internal faction in our government at the highest levels that's trying to take over and implement their form of tyranny. And you got to look to China and Russia while you're thinking about it.
I agree with all that, too. And look, what's happening, I think, under President Trump is that the American people are finally realizing that we've let this unelected bureaucracy, which under Obama grew to incredible proportions, huge. They make all the rules. They're not in the Constitution. Congress passes a law, and then they give it to the bureaucracy to make the rules. That's where the law is made. It's made by the unelected officials. And we're becoming like the EU. It doesn't make any difference who you elect, because in Brussels, they tell the people whom you elect what they're allowed to do. And that's completely in reverse of what our founding fathers intended with the Constitution. And I'm serious about saying move the entire bureaucracy out of Washington. Nothing says it has to be in Washington. Put it in Death Valley, and maybe all these Beltway people will quit. That's the best way to get rid of them.
Well, we have a shadow government, and like you say, I think it was Meyer Amschel Rothschild said that if I can control the currency supply of a country, I care not who writes the laws. And I think that's exactly what's going on here. I think that you've got the power players that got endless supplies of money coming out of the Fed with low interest rates. They've bought up everything, and they've bought our elected officials and the NGOs that are trying to run this whole game of Thrones.
And there's so much money, now Nancy Pelosi wants another $3 trillion. I mean, how many trillions are we going to print? It makes no sense that all the people are getting more on unemployment than going back to work. That doesn't make any sense at all.
I think she's done this on purpose. I think they knew that this wasn't going to pass in the Senate. And I think what they've done is this is a stall and delay tactic to get it closer to the elections. And then they can say the Republicans wouldn't pass this, even though it's stacked with so much stupid
Oh, yeah, you know, amnesty for the illegals. I mean, there's so much in that bill for the money.
Well, but in the meantime, there's the red states, or the blue states, I'm sorry, are coming out saying, well, we got to vote by mail and blah, blah, blah. So they're trying to steal this whole thing. They're trying to steal a country. This is more about the survival of the United States and the Constitution, I believe, at the end of the day, than it is about anything else.
Well, I think finally, one of the things about Donald Trump, and this COVID is another illustration, we saw it also in these attempts to remove him from office, the impeachment hearings. Donald Trump is making it apparent to the American people that this deep state has nothing to do with liberty.
Yeah,
and, you know, my belief in God, I think God gave us this COVID-19 in part so we could see how bad things have gotten. And you take California. I mean, I don't think California is so far removed from the Constitution, letting people out of jail, funding illegal immigrants. I mean, it doesn't seem to me anymore that we can trust these officials who are in the bureaucracy and our elected officials who are more, you know, I want to know why Nancy Pelosi and all the rest of them, this guy Burr, the Senate, and on insider trading, and Dianne Feinstein with a Chinese agent on her staff, and her husband being investigated for insider trading. I mean, you know, I think we should have term limits on the bureaucracy, and we should have term limits on Congress, and it's we the people who are in charge, and I'm very grateful that Donald Trump has let the American people see how far away from the Constitution and from God that we have come.
Well, sometimes I think you can't tell the public the truth. Sometimes they have to live it in order to understand it. Because we've been talking about this stuff, I know personally, for 30 years. And until it gets a little bit ugly and people start getting uncomfortable, only then will they, it seems like they're going to find the will to implement a change here.
And I'm sorry to interrupt, but we do need to go to a break. Please hold on with us, Mr. Corsi, and when we get back, we'll get your take on that, and we also have a caller on the line. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
I'm on my knees. Yeah, well, it's late in the evening, and I'm on my knees. Cause I'm oh so grateful for my government chief. It's a bad situation, but I love my little friend Louise. It's a bad situation, and I love my little friend Louise.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding. Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Redding Rancheria is proud of our efforts to help lead our community to reopen the local economy in a safe and effective way. This is Tracy Edwards, CEO of Redding Rancheria and a member of the Shasta County Roadway to Recovery Committee. I would like to thank Shasta County for practicing safe social distancing. As coronavirus cases continue to shrink, Shasta County is looking at ways to reopen our economy in a meaningful and safe way. Make no mistakes, we are not through this yet. We have, however, been blessed with an opportunity to discuss ways to reopen businesses. We are proud to play our part.
Brian's spending a little too much time in his room. That's a problem, and that's what these guys.
I think it's happening to a lot of people. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, come on, guys. It's time to get up, get out, and get involved in. You know, I'm telling you, in Reading here, the supervisors need to be called to task. They need to put this health worker care, whoever she is, on notice, and we need to move forward. They have the power to do that. They need to get off of their fearful. I don't even know what to call it anymore. I'm just so fed up with these
guys. Well, you
got to
wonder, is there money involved in here, and that's why they're doing what they're doing?
It's all about fear. They're fear or political, ideological bent. And bent is what I'm talking about here. With that said, let's...
We got Charles on the line. Good morning, Charles.
Have you got a question for Mr. Corsi?
No, I'm calling to answer the question you asked at the beginning of the show, which was, why are they devaluing hydroxychloroquine?
Okay.
And I can give you two very brief reasons. One is the public health establishment in particular, and the establishment in general, are pathologically anti-Trump, and Trump specifically spoke well of hydroxychloroquine, and they don't want to do anything that's going to make Trump look good, especially in advance of the upcoming election. So that's one reason. The other reason is hydroxychloroquine is an old remedy, which means there's not a valid patent on it anymore.
There's no money, is what you're saying. Yeah.
Novel remedies, novel vaccines, you know, they all are subject to being patented. And, you know, there's money to be made from patent royalties.
That's a good point, Charles. Okay, thanks for the call, Charles. We need to get back to our guest. But I think Charles has got it, hit it nail on the head. I mean, I think some of these people up there would, it doesn't matter what Trump says, if he says the sky's blue, you know, they're going to throw a fit and say it's green. But at the same time, these people are, there's something, you know, if that's what you're doing and you're at the highest offices in the land, supposedly running the country and making the laws, you got to, I mean, there's
You think there might be a problem?
And
he made a good point about the money, you know.
What say you, Mr. Corsi?
Well, I agree. I mean, I think he's got good points on both. And take a look at CorsiNation.com. I've got articles there, and they link directly to the patents. And Fauci's name's on the patents for this glycoprotein 120. It didn't patent the glycoprotein itself. He patented various treatments regarding it in AIDS, and then that glycoprotein shows up in COVID-19. So somebody's going to get paid, and if there is a vaccine and or treatment that takes into consideration that glycoprotein 120, And the point I'm making is that, first of all, I don't think there's going to be a vaccine, although I'm sure there's going to be some rolled out. And I'm also sure somebody's going to make money on them. And with, you know, those patents held by Fauci, where he's the inventor, and a list of inventors are assigned to HHS, but that doesn't, we don't see the assignment. I don't see that there's no money going to Fauci, and the way he's acting, he's getting paid.
Well, I saw Trump say something that kind of disturbed me the other day about vaccines, too. They're trying to develop one as well, and he says he's going to use the Army to implement it. I'm not sure exactly if that was taken out of context or what he was thinking. Maybe he's just thinking as a move to save the country. I don't know, but it was kind of disturbing, especially in light of all the things we're talking about with, you know, regarding vaccines. And I don't think they're going to get a vaccine that's going to work either, but it's going to be at least a 6 months, 8 months, a year away.
Well, see, the thing is, Fauci's saying, look, cavalry's going to come over the hill, and the end of the movie, everybody's going to be saved because we're going to have a vaccine. Well, all that does is keep everybody from going after hydroxychloroquine, which is available and does appear from the clinical experience to work. And that's good enough for a lot of people. It's good enough for me, especially when that hydroxychloroquine has been considered one of the safest medications over the last 70 years. Now, sure, like any medication, you've got to make sure that you don't have a counter-indicating condition. And a doctor, a competent doctor, does medical history, should be able to find that. I mean, you eat too much of anything. You drink too much orange juice, probably not good for you. I mean, they've known this since the ancient world when they said moderation and everything. But the point is, these are claims that don't make logical sense in terms of the medical science, even for a layperson like me, they don't. And I'm judging it by the logic, which leads me as a political scientist to think there's other motives for Fauci demonizing a generic drug that's cheap in favor of the possibility, the remote possibility, that a vaccine will be developed that somebody's going to make billions of dollars on. And I just don't trust that formula.
Well, you know, one thing that we can all be sure of in life is that we're not going to get out alive. And I think
right.
that you can either live, you know, without fear and free, or you can live with fear and be ruled over. And I think that's what we're talking about here. If you boil it down, I think, you know, if you believe and you see a lot of these people that don't believe in God, they're completely terrified of dying. Whereas, you know, if you have some faith here and you believe that you're going to a higher place, at least you have a chance of it, you know, you should be free and look to God with some faith. So I think that's part of the crux of the argument is that, and what the separation is actually based on the bottom line of faith in the end. What do you think?
I agree on that. I mean, I think the fundamental defense we have against disease is the strength of our immune system.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, you know, is something that you can manage and you can improve. You know, for instance, if you've got a comorbidity situation that you can control, lose weight. If you've got diabetes, get that under control or make sure you handle any conditions, high blood pressure, address it. Don't let the condition continue unaddressed. And then you've got to get out because your immune condition is going to improve by exposure.
Mm-hmm.
The human body has in it millions of diseases, millions of viruses that go bacteria that go back to prehistoric times. And our immune systems carry with it the memory of how we've survived through the ages, and it hasn't been thanks to Dr. Fauci and a vaccine. Now, vaccines do help some diseases that are stable. I mean, mumps, measles, I can list them, smallpox, etc. Even polio can be done. The Salk vaccine seems to have made a positive effect. But for some illnesses, especially these quickly mutating viruses that have come out in recent years, these SARS and MERS, and these COVID viruses, HIV, 30 years they've been trying to find a vaccine and they can't do it. And I think we've got to take that into consideration. There's going to be treatments that will work. But the idea of keeping people away from each other so we don't develop any exposure to illness is absolutely a preposterously ridiculous idea.
Well, you would think, but you'd think that these leftists would be all for this natural selection thing, but I guess if you're the one that's going to go, it's a problem. And I just wanted to clarify something from Cautious Earthling in the chat room. The Army is to distribute it, not to force it. And I think that's a huge discrepancy between, you know, these guys coming out saying that if you don't take the vaccine, you know, then you know, we're going to, you know, basically undermine your livelihoods and arrest you or fine you or
right.
do whatever they're going to do to make sure that you comply. But
can I comment, too? I think, you know, Donald Trump did not say he was going to use the Army to force the vaccine, but there are legitimate concerns here. As soon as you unleash a group to, like the Army, to say, okay, everybody needs a vaccine, what about testing?
Right.
Now, are you going to get a little badge you have to wear around to say you've got an immunity? Otherwise, you're not going to be allowed to go on an airplane. And then maybe they better start deciding whether you have guns in your house. They maybe take some of those away, too.
Well, it definitely caught my attention, and I didn't get to follow up on it. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. If you're not concerned and a little bit afraid of what's going on here, I don't think you got two brain cells to rub together. We do have a caller.
We do. We have Jake on the line. Good morning, Jake. Jake, are you there?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
You have a question?
Yes, I comment regarding the hydrochloroquine. I have a great aunt, 76 years old, who back March 15th came down with this on a trip to, of all places, D.C. And she, her two sons, and her maid that were on the trip all went back home to quarantine. And her relationship with her widowed husband with a pharmacy was able to get hydrochloroquine, zithromycin right away, was put on it, and by the 10th day she had improved very well, and by the 14th day she was back to living alone. And neither the two sons or the maid, who all quarantined with her, ever contracted the so, you know, take with that what you will. But she came out of it perfectly with that combination.
So I think the moral of the story is, if you get this thing, you better make sure you get some hydroxychloroquine and
well,
and
it's definitely an option out there that should be available to people to do that.
I've got to ask you this, Dr. Corsi. It's from the chat room. Something about mousepox. I don't know anything about it. Do you know anything about this mousepox thing?
No, that's a new one to me. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm a political scientist, so
right.
There's lots about medicine I don't know.
Well, I just
and
had
I don't,
to bring
and
it
I don't
up,
prescribe
so.
Anything for anybody. I tell you what the doctors say. That's why I interview doctors on my website, CorsiNation.com. I'm not qualified to give medical advice.
Very good. Well, I just had to bring it up. So,
could I say one thing, Dr. Corsi? I watch you a lot on Jason Goodman's YouTube channel, Crowdsource the Truth. And with Charles Ortel, his material on YouTube, and I think you're a great addition to the whole freedom fighting team, and I appreciate your work.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your comment.
Very good. Thanks, Jake. Well,
thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks for the call. Okay, so where are we at now?
Well, I just want to say, you know, to the point of educating the people. You know, it makes a big difference. They're not doing any education on their health. And like Dr. Corsi was saying about your bacteria, you have to have some bacteria in your system. You have good and bad bacteria. They're not letting people know that. They're just labeling it. It's all bad. You have to have the vaccine and move on.
Yeah, a human body is a very complex organism.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a surprising amount of history in it, going back to, you know, prehistoric times with our DNA and our immune systems and the like. And, you know, I think only God could create something as wondrous as the human body. And at a nano level, there's intelligent communications going on. And the idea that you're just going to get a vaccine, wait until a big pharmacy develops one, and, you know, that we've survived. No disease in human history has killed everybody, and the proof of that is we're here. And so, therefore, I think the human immune system can and will adapt, and that we've got to understand that some of these defense measures actually weaken us.
Correct.
While politically putting us into a situation where we're just asking to be under totalitarian control. That's what really frightens me.
I agree. That's what this is really about, in my opinion. This is a takeover. There, you know, if you do your homework, you do a little research, I don't think there's any question about their motives. And at the same time, if we're going to commit economic suicide in the process, what's the point? I mean, what's the point of surviving a virus if you can't survive the economic conditions and you're going to see a lot more deaths because of that?
Well,
that's
you're
ridiculous.
You're going to see suicide anyway, in my opinion, you know, with the vaccines and stuff, because the FDA approves it and then you find out, oh, no, that it's done this to us. It's suicide.
Well, in Wuhan, they welded people's doors shut and let them die inside. Is that what the government's going to do to protect us? I mean, I don't trust government control, and I think we've got far too much of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to see us eliminate this federal bureaucracy. And now they've insured themselves with these SES and all these other civil service protections. You can't even fire them. So just move them out of Washington and let these Beltway people quit. See, how many of them want to go to Death Valley? Not a bad place in the spring.
Well, I think it'd be good natural selection out there, the survival of the fittest. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
It'd almost be like Thunderdome or something. That would be awesome.
You don't have to worry about getting the virus there because of the heat. I mean, I'm just saying.
I've got lots of places we could move them.
It's when you think about the whole thing, it's just utterly ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I think there's an act of desperation here, in my opinion. I think this is desperation for what's coming down the pipe from Barr and Durham and Trump. And I don't anybody who thinks that Trump is going to let this whole thing go and they're not going to do anything, I think is completely off their rocker, in my opinion. What say you?
I've known Donald Trump, you know, in New York. Not well, but I've watched him over maybe 40 years, and I have always admired him. And I thought for quite a while he'd make a great president. And he survived Russiagate. He survived Ukrainegate. I think he'll survive Virusgate. And I suspect that we're going to come out of this with our eyes opened to a lot of corruption that we just sat by and let progressively happen through, you know, these New World Order trade agreements that started going back to George H.W. Bush. And I don't hold the Bushes or any other Republicans or Democrats. I think they're both at fault here. And Donald Trump has exposed this hypocrisy and this creeping, you know, the best way to take people's liberty away is to do it in this creeping fashion. And that's what's been happening over the last 40 or 50 years. I think finally we're getting a chance to see where we've come to. And I think the American people, I've got to say, you know, we the people are sovereign. And we're tired of Russiagate lies. We're tired of Ukrainegate lies. We're tired of the mainstream media that thinks they know better than the press, and the bureaucracy that thinks they know better than the president. And I think the American people have a fundamental goodness and a fundamental sense about them. And that a belief in God, as you said earlier, will get us a long way back. The same principles our founding fathers had, the same vision, which is founded on limited government and trusting individual freedom. And I've had just about enough of this quarantine. I'm in New Jersey, where our governor, Democrat, thinks maybe we ought to be quarantined for the rest of our lives.
Well, you know, we've got Gavin Mussolini out here, and, you know, do you think, and I see this as the possibility of being the Great Awakening. What do you think? And we're only got a couple minutes here to the top of the hour, and they're going to cut us off. I'm not sure if my sister has...
I think you're right. I mean, I think I pray you're right. I think we are at the beginning of the American people finally getting their eyes open, and it is a great awakening. And I believe the American people will do something about it. I think we'll have... I especially believe that this Richard Grenell, who's come in as the Director of National Intelligence... And I've even been distrustful of Barr because Barr was sitting on the Horowitz footnotes until Grenell demanded they be released, and they demonstrated the Steele report was Russian disinformation. Grenell demanded the names of the that had unmasked General Flynn to be released. Barr didn't do that. And I think Grenell is going to demand indictments regardless of what Barr wants to do. And this whole thing with General Flynn is a disgrace.
Mr. Corsi?
The judge should never be allowed to continue this case when the Department of Justice has dropped it.
I hate to cut you off, but we're going to get to the top of the hour. We had somebody call in, and they want you to give your contact information, the website and everything again. And if you can, we can hold you over if you have the time for us.
This is a good time for me, too. And Sunday and family and everything, and when it returns
totally
to family.
Understand.
But the point is, CorsiNation.com is where you can find me. CorsiNation.com. And there's a lot of information there, including the TeleMD program. And if you go down to the bottom, it says contact. I get those emails.
All right. Very good. And that's where they can also go for get information on the drugs. So there you go. And we appreciate you coming on, and we'd like to have you back in the future.
My pleasure. I'll be happy to return.
Thanks.
All right.
Thank you,
and have a wonderful Sunday.
Okay. God bless.
Bye. All right. I guess we're at the top of the hour.
We are at the top of the hour.
You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM online and AM 1460.
Army of trial lawyers is about to descend.
Republicans insist liability protections must be part of any new coronavirus relief package. Wagner reporting.
United Airlines delivers bad news to a lot of its employees.
Reuters is reporting that United Airlines told flight attendants on a conference call that it will have work for only 3,000 of its 25,000 attendants in June. And the carrier says there are more job losses on the horizon if passenger demand does not recover by this fall when government payroll assistance expires.
That's correspondent Keith Peters. In separate warnings, two major European leaders have bluntly told their citizens that the world is going to have to adapt to live with the coronavirus and can't wait to be saved by a vaccine. The comments by Italian Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte and British Prime Minister Boris Johnson come as both nations around the world and U.S. states are struggling with the increased need to reactivate economies blindsided by the virus. With 36 million people newly unemployed in the U.S. alone, economic pressure is building, even as authorities acknowledge the risk of reopening. Tropical Storm Arthur getting closer to the East Coast today. It's expected to strengthen and make impact on North Carolina this evening. Arthur formed off the coast of Florida yesterday. Tropical storm warning issued for parts of North Carolina's coast, including Pamlico and Albemarle Sounds. More on these stories at townhall.com.
We're about to hear a commercial for a very unique mortgage team that has a very specific advantage that could save your family monthly and lifelong money. Two things you should know. One, we were started by a dad and his son and his wife and his sister-in-law, and we've grown to be a faith-focused mortgage team that's helping families across the U.S. We're faith and family at our core, and we don't hide it. Two, we've still stayed fairly small, on purpose. We're only about a couple dozen people, a makeup that we believe lets us truly know every person that calls. But we also have a big advantage. Our company is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls, a reality that often allows us to get you a better rate, which could save you monthly and lifelong money. We or United Faith Mortgage at UnitedFaithMortgage.com.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp. 25 Middle Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to AnimalistConsumerAccess.org. Corporate Animalist Number 1330. Equal Housing Lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, Mississippi, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
The final two episodes of the popular ESPN series The Last Dance will air tonight.
The documentary was originally scheduled to debut in June around the time of the NBA Finals, but ESPN moved up its release and has captivated a sports-starved American audience amid the coronavirus outbreak. The series focuses on Chicago's 1997-98 season and revolves around the career of Hall of Famer Michael Jordan, who led the Bulls to six NBA championships in the 90s. Popular filmmaker Ken Burns criticized Jordan's involvement in the production of the series, suggesting he had too much influence in the final production and, quote, "That's not the way you do good journalism." Ron DeRockster reporting.
Facebook has bought Giphy, a popular tool for creating the animated images known as GIFs that pepper conversations around the web. The companies did not disclose financial terms, but citing unnamed sources, Axios says the deal is worth about $400 million. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Couples trying to salvage weddings put on hold by the coronavirus are feeding a fresh trend in the bridal industry.
Instead of waiting, a growing number of couples are tying the knot alone or with just a few local loved ones looking on while others join virtually. The couples then plan to reschedule larger, more traditional celebrations when conditions permit. It's born of necessity and is a play on micro-weddings, the first choice for some couples looking for a more intimate experience or unable to afford bigger affairs. The average cost of weddings pre-pandemic, just under $34,000. Rich Thomason reporting.
Today is Sunday, May the 17th, and some famous people are celebrating a birthday today, including Boxing Hall of Famer Sugar Ray Leonard. He is 64 years old today. Sports announcer Jim Nance turns 61. Singer Enya is 59. Comedian Craig Ferguson is 58. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Southern Minds for the second hour.
Yeah, we're back.
We're back. That was a good interview with Dr. Corsi.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, you can find him, again, at CorsiNation.com if you want to get some more information on everything that
and
he's
that's
doing.
That's where the telemed is. Also, there's a link on there you can click on.
I think that's important to know about because if you get it, that's going to be the answer for me. I mean, I'm going to get a hold of that and get them some of that hydroxychloroquine because I think the rest is complete crap. I mean, go on the ventilator, do nothing, you know.
Well, yeah, again, like I said, I think you should have that option, not that, you know, they're giving us that option. I watched the thing, you know, that the dosage, you know, for the money is like 50 cents per
that's
dose.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, it's
there's
like,
no money in it
wow,
the
yeah, there's
why.
No money. So, of course, it can't cure you or help you or anything, you know.
And I posted a thing on my Facebook page, and I think everybody should watch it. It's an OAN report. Critics question involvement of Gates, Soros, and Clinton's in the contract tracing efforts. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. Now, I don't know. I thought we were supposed to have Mark Baird call in. At 11, I'm not sure if he's calling in, but I think we do have Richard on the
yeah,
line.
Yeah, we do
so,
have Richard. Good
so
morning,
go
Richard.
On the radio.
Okay.
All
right.
Hello.
You're morning. On the radio. Good morning,
hey.
Richard.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep. What you got?
I'll try to make this quick. Two things. We're trying to get some carpools going for this Saturday down in Sacramento. I'm not sure what would be a good point of contact to do that, but if we can start communicating on that. Second item I have, when I was talking recently about the sheriff and his authority and the state guard and the illegal aliens and stuff, I left a gap in there. I just want to fill that real quick.
Okay.
So part of the National Guard being used for enforcement of quarantines and anything else for that matter, the governor has other options. He's got three other options that he can use prior to the National Guard if our local law enforcement refuses to enforce laws, which I've covered before. So he can use the state police, which is the higher patrol. That's his first option. If they refuse to enforce laws throughout the state, the second option is, remember what I talked about, the sheriffs work for the attorney general who works for the governor. The attorney general or the governor, they can dictate to one of the sheriffs who will do what they are told, especially the large sheriffs like L.A., Riverside, who have a lot of sheriffs. The governor will just tell that sheriff, I want 100 of your agents, 100 of your deputies to go on a special mission, and that's that, and it'll just happen. So remember, law enforcement in California, if you're post-certified, you can exercise your authority throughout the state. So, third option, the state has many, many departments, you know, DMV, alcohol beverage, et cetera, right? Cal Fire. Most of these state departments have peace officers. Why, I couldn't tell you, but they do. So that's another source for the governor, and all these state peace officers are under the control of the governor. They're state employees, so he can tap that source also. So those are three sources the governor can use prior to using the National Guard. And great show, guys. Talk to you later.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I still say if you get enough, it's going to be one of those things that if it comes down to the point where enough people say, hey, we're not doing it, there's nothing they can do. They're not going to be able to control it. So.
Right. If it's an unlawful order at the same time.
Yeah, you've got to follow the Constitution.
Right.
So anyway, with that said, I do believe we have Mark Barrett on the line from the state of Jefferson. And what do you got for us, Mark? How are you doing this morning?
Good, Mark. How are you doing, Linda?
Good, you?
Every day's a new adventure.
Yeah,
you got that right.
Living the dream.
It's a new roller coaster ride every day.
So what's going on in Jefferson?
Well, the Ninth Circuit decided to rule on our case on appeal from the circuit court, Judge Mueller, who, as you know, I'll just give everybody a brief history in case somebody doesn't know what's going on. Now, we filed the CFR case years ago. Judge Mueller ruled, as she should have, to give us a three-judge court. Then the state whined, and she asked for a do-over and changed her mind. So we appealed to the Ninth Circuit. It's been waiting a Ninth Circuit ruling for a long time, an inexorably long time. But the court basically has suspended due process, you know, the virus. And so they decided to rule on the appeal without hearing oral argument. So here we are years and years down the line, lots of money spent, and the court denies us due process again. And what they basically did was ruled along Democratic lines and dismissed the case. So we're discussing the appeal to the Supreme Court. And, you know, look, we're not babies here. We didn't expect the most left-leaning circuit in the United States of America, California's Eastern District. We never expected justice from her. We never expected justice out of the Ninth Circuit Court. You'd have to be a baby and a moron to think that there's justice there. And all you have to do to know that's true is look at all the Second Amendment cases. I mean, the state, even the federal court in the Southern District, California Southern District with Judge Benitez, they've ruled two or three times in a row in favor of the Second Amendment. The state whines to the Ninth Circuit, and they stay the preliminary injunction. They overturn the case. You notice the only cases that ever go to in-bank in the Ninth Circuit are Second Amendment cases. So on the odd occurrence that the Ninth Circuit supports the Second Amendment, the in-bank overturns it. So we never expected justice from the Ninth Circuit, and we were right. We didn't get it, but you got to go through the process. So we're talking to the attorneys Monday night, and we're going to have a conference call with the attorneys and talk about the appeal to the United States Supreme Court, which is the next step in the chain of events.
I would think this is a good thing, Mark, from my perspective. Let's get it done. I mean, you know, let's keep going because we knew, like you say, we weren't going to get anything from these guys anyway because the whole thing is a sham at this point. They don't care about the law. They don't care about the Constitution. All they care about is power and control. But I would think getting it to the Supreme Court is where we wanted to go in the first place. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. It was the only, you know, and all Edmund Coke said hundreds of years ago that all courts are corrupt because the judge knows that the king writes his paycheck. And in California, it's good to be king. I mean, ask Gavin Newsom. But we're hoping that the United States Supreme Court is the least corrupt court in the country and that perhaps we can find some justice there. And if we don't find justice there, we are preparing a plan B already. So we'll be coming out with that pretty soon. And hopefully if we can't gain justice out of the court, we'll have enough steam rolling on plan B to get justice through our own means, through other means.
Well, I think that we're headed on a collision course with our freedom against tyranny across the board on a lot of different levels. And this is just another level. But it's the only answer for us in the state of California because, I mean, you're not going to change these guys overnight down there in the Capitol. And, you know, if they stop the voting fraud, maybe we flip everything, but it still doesn't change the representatives in our districts in order to get good representation so that we actually have a say-so in the Capitol.
Well, I'd like to make a comment on that. First of all, your last guest was spot on. Bill Gates is a eugenist. Gavin Newsom is a eugenist. I mean, he's the one that made the public statement that he wants California to be the abortion vacation, mm-hmm. preeminent abortion vacation destination in the whole world, and your taxpayers' money helps fund that. So you thought we were headed to tyranny. I got some bad news for you. We've been in tyranny since Jerry Brown took over as governor. We don't have any rights. We don't have any liberty. The Second Amendment has been banned by legislation and further banned by court action. Concealed carry is not a right, and you are banned from the practice of open carry in the state of California by legislative fiat and penal code.
There's only one thing left, Mark, to be in a complete Nazi state of mind here is if they go around and try to confiscate everything, and I think that would blow up in their face and they're afraid of it.
I think we're already there. I mean, all you have to do is look at it. Remember, socialists don't have to own a thing. In communist countries, the communist government doesn't own everything. That's contrary to popular belief. You don't have to own a thing. All you have to do is control it. Right. All you have to do is hold power over it and direct its movement and direct its use or non-use. And so you look at it right now. We had a public health officer that announced in our county, well, we're getting ready to go to phase two. And I wrote her a letter immediately saying, what's your constitutional authority to restrict assembly, to restrict the ability of people in their usury and possessory interest in their own property to make a living for themselves and their family? I'm curious to know what's your basis in law to take charge over those things in the name of the government. Because your guest is right. It's the public health officer in each county that are making those announcements. They're doing it at the direction of the state. Once again, the state doesn't have to own the county. They just have to control it effectively, which Gavin Newsom does. How does he do it? He does it through the purse strings, which is logical. We send our money to the county. They send the money to the state. And then the state sends back what they want to send back to us. And they will mandate how 87 cents out of every dollar is spent. Or they'll go do like they did in Placer County. Well, because we don't like the way you talk, we're not going to give you money now.
Right. So that explains
your money to start with.
So that explains the prostitutes at the Board of Supervisors, is what you're telling me, is the fact is that these guys have prostituted themselves and lay prone at the feet of our master, Gavin Mussolini, and that's more important than it is being free.
Well, that's true. Now, once again, you look at history, and all this is written. Look, as Ecclesiastes says, there is nothing new under the sun. What has been done will be done. What was will be. There's nothing new under the sun. This has been done again and again and again and again and again, and people make the same mistakes over and over and over and over again in history. And it started out thousands of years ago when the Jews went to God and said, we want a king. And he says, what do you need a king for? You have me, I give you the moral law, and you have judges in each community to decide if your bull gets out, how much you owe your neighbor for stomping on his flower bed. Why do you need a king? Well, we want a king. Everybody needs a king. We want a king. Give us a king. So he gave him a king, and the king tyrannized them for 45 years horribly, murdered their children, sacrificed them, burned them alive. You know, I mean, once again, there was a horrible tragedy in Israel, a famine, a pandemic type of situation. So what do? They ran to Egypt, and they asked Pharaoh to take care of them. And he did exactly what Stalin said. He said, in the end, they will get down on their knees, and they will beg me to govern as long as I feed them. What's different about that? That 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, Stalin's regime, Mao said the power of political power comes out of the barrel of a gun. So if people don't have guns, they have no political power. What's different about those things now? The only difference is the title of the page is Corona is Wuhan China virus. That's the only difference. There is no difference in tyranny, no matter what the excuse. The only difference is the title page. My great-great-grandmother was from the Ukraine, and she fled a regime that was starving 11 million people to death, some of the best farmers in the world, and they just go take all their crops and say, well, yeah, thanks for growing that. Yes, you own the land. Yes, you own this. Yes, you own that. But we're taking the crops, and you can't stop us because you don't have any guns, and we have all the guns. And then they were selling those products to other communist countries all over the world while 11 million people starved in their own homes.
So I think the moral of the story here, if I'm getting this right, if we make the connection – And go back to the founding of our nation, and I can't remember, I think it was Benjamin Franklin said that Constitution was created only for a moral people and would be wholly inadequate for anybody else. And I think that's the connection you got to make. What it comes down to is you either look to the government, which is man, which is corruption, which is theft, which is criminality, to govern you, or you look to God and follow those rules to govern yourself. Am I?
Mark, I'm sorry. We have to go to a break, and we'll take you on the other side. If you can hang with us, that would be wonderful. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Working from home? Conference calls?
You're still on mute, John.
With everything we have going on right now, it's never been more important to get the sleep we need. Quality Sleep is a natural immune booster, and only the Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movements and automatically adjusts your comfort and support on both sides, your Sleep Number setting. So, all those other things we're doing to stay healthy and happy, well, they'll work better too. And now, during our Memorial Day sale, save $1,000 on the Queen Sleep Number 360 special edition smart bed, now only $17.99, only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is the second generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only 4 AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area.
Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423 at Advanced Automotive.
Almost cut my hair. It happened just the other day. It's getting kind of long. I could have said it wasn't in my way.
I got a haircut for like 2 months.
I remember back in the day that wasn't even in our vocabulary. I can remember the long hair days.
Yeah, there's actually proof on Facebook that I used to have hair down to my shoulders. Now if it gets past my ears, I'm uncomfortable. Anyway, let's get back to Mark here and get serious here. Where were we? I mean, gosh darn, I mean, we were talking about the fact that if you don't make the connection.
Money.
Well, you were talking about Benjamin Franklin and what he said, that the Constitution is meant for moral people and it's wholly inadequate for any other. And he also said something else that was very interesting. He said that anyone that was willing to trade their liberty for a little temporary safety deserves neither and will achieve neither. And he is right about that, too. You know, there is no moral equivalent between safety and liberty. The two are oftentimes incongruous. And I say that true safety is found through liberty, because you're the master of your own family and your own property. And you know, yes, you have to live within certain rules. And those rules are liberties that we have temporarily delegated to government in order to protect the liberty we hold most dear.
And I don't think you can sit the fence either. I think if you sit on the fence, you're going to get creamed. I mean, you have to be on one side or the other. You know, at least quit pretending you're on one side or the other. You know, you can't pretend you're for liberty and you believe in the Constitution and at the same time have your hand out for all these government programs either.
Well, you know, anybody that's ever been a rancher knows when you try to ride the fence, you're going to get slivers.
That's it.
And if you want to sleep with Satan, don't complain when the sheets get hot. I mean, that's how this works. So you can't have it both ways. You can't embrace Gavin Newsom's dystopian future of selective murder, selective enforcement, selective reward to the good people, and selective reward to businesses. I mean, once again, why is it okay to buy a donut at Walmart, but you can't buy a donut at Bob's Donut Shop? Why is it okay to go into a fast food restaurant inside Walmart, but you got to wait out at the curb at everybody else's restaurant if they're even open?
Do you know what I just don't understand? Why these people think that handing over all their money and power and lawful rules over their lives and everything is somehow better than thinking for themselves and being in charge of themselves and following a small set of rules like the Ten Commandments.
It doesn't take any effort for them to do anything.
Well, there's no
right
personal
now.
Responsibility.
Yeah, I mean, there's no effort on their part, and they're getting everything for free, and they think it's great.
But that's what the Nazis said in Germany after they exterminated a bunch of people.
I know.
You know, well, it was just our job, and we had to do it as we were ordered.
Well, yeah, I mean, every single German at the Nuremberg war crimes trial said the same thing. Hey, nothing personal. I was just following orders.
Yeah.
That's what the CHP said at the Capitol when they were clapping the cuffs on ordinary citizens and ticketing them for peacefully assembling to petition the government for redress of grievance, which, by the way, is mentioned verbatim in the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. Even though a peace officer takes an oath to support and defend both the United States and the California Constitution, and the California Constitution says the U.S. Constitution is the highest law in the land. In addition to that, they have a peace officer's code of ethics that says they will defend the defenseless and they will defend the oppressed. Well, how are they defending the oppressed when they're taking ordinary citizens lawfully protesting and clapping them in iron? Mm-hmm. So, you know, people think, oh, well, you know, law enforcement will stand with us when push comes to shove. Don't kid yourselves. Don't kid yourselves about that for a minute, because they won't. The vast majority of them will not. They are indoctrinated to follow orders. They never ask themselves whether they're lawful orders. They don't have the courage to refuse a lawful order because they all get their money from CalPERS. No one in the Highway Patrol is going to risk his pension to keep from dragging you to jail under a trumped-up PC-148 resisting arrest.
Do you know what's the height of irony on that? Is that
they don't have a pension.
Their pensions are just about gone, too. They're going to wake up just like everybody else with nothing because, you know, this whole thing of the stock market, you know, they lost more money, but it's not over. We're not even out of the woods by any stretch. But if you shut down the economy for, I don't know, 6 months, a year, you don't think that the stock market's going to implode and all their pensions are going to go down? These people are living in la-la land. They got nothing there.
Well, I got some bad news for everybody even beyond that, because anyone who puts his faith in his money has his faith in the wrong place anyway, because I've never seen a coffin that had pockets in it. And believe me, this life is but a blip in eternity, and that's where you should place your treasure, is in where you're going to spend eternity, not where you spend the next 5 days.
Right.
I just can't believe this. I can't believe it's happening, but what I really can't believe is that the people in California, seeing it, knowing it, having it happen to them, are too damn lazy to go vote to get rid of the tyrants and the fools that run the state, and the criminals and felons in charge of you and in charge of your property, you know, the ones that own you.
Right. And with that, Mark, we do have to go to another break. Please stay with us, and we'll pick this up on the other side. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
State of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
These are unprecedented times, challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Y's across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
In a white room with black curtains, here's a station. Black roof country, no gold payments, tired starlings. Silver horses run down moonbeams in your dark.
Where are we, Mark? Holy crap. I mean, I just posted on Facebook a cop saying don't obey these unconstitutional orders for somebody to look at. So there are a few of them out there as a special forces veteran. And he's basically saying you to the other police officers, you need to stop and think about what you're doing and make sure it's a lawful order.
Yeah, and then they suspended him for saying it.
Yep. Well, you know, that's you're right. You know, I mean, so where do we go from here? I mean, what do we do?
Well, I mean, first of all, resist tyranny. Resist tyranny now. Resist tyranny tomorrow. Resist tyranny forever. Don't submit. Don't comply. Live according to the principles that your God placed in your soul at the moment of your creation, according to Christian principles, which this nation was founded on. And whether you're a Christian or not, the legal basis for those, for that foundation is where your liberty comes from. So I don't care if you're an atheist. You need to see where your liberty comes from, and you need to live according to those principles, because if you don't, as you said, and very aptly, you're replacing God with government. And what government can give, government can take away.
I don't understand how,
all the time.
I don't understand how people seem to think that these guys that are elected are somehow more benevolent than everybody else. You know, I mean, that's the perception that they would like to give us, that, you know, freedom is evil and capitalism is evil. But we're the guys that are in charge. I mean, look at Nancy Pelosi. You know, gee, she's so much more benevolent than the rest of us. Does anybody buy that crap?
Well, in fact, the majority of people in California buy it, because she gets elected again and again and again. And Dianne Feinstein, that crooked senator whose husband made millions and millions of dollars on the stock market with her foreknowledge, and, you know, the eugenist Dianne Feinstein and the eugenist Nancy Pelosi and the eugenist Gavin Newsom, who's going to say who lives and who dies and you're going to pay for it. I got a question. If you are a Christian, how do you feel about your tax money going to commit murder? How does that strike you?
Boy, no. I'll tell you what. I just as a sidebar, I think that they're actually starting to investigate Feinstein on that insider trading. I don't expect it necessarily to go anywhere, but at the same time, I'm tired of investigations. I want to see some indictments. I think it's coming. I think that they can't let them get away with this stuff. I think whether it's Barr, this new guy, or Trump, I mean, I don't think they can let these guys walk. And I think that might change the paradigm here across the board if somebody starts getting indicted.
I don't think it'll happen, and I'll tell you why. You look at General Flynn, who was obviously railroaded. It was obviously collusion. He was obviously put in jail as political retribution for his activities and to make Donald Trump look bad. And now the judge that is in charge of his DOJ asked for to drop the charges, that typically when a prosecutor, and I've been in plenty of court trials, when the prosecutor asks for the judge to drop the charges, the judge says okay, and he drops them. But in this case, the judge is not only saying no to that, but he's inviting opposition attorneys to write amicus briefs in a criminal case. I have never heard of anything like that in all my years.
It's illegal. You can't, you know, it's illegal. The judicial branch of government cannot prosecute a case. This is going to go by these guys, and it's going to end up, and they're going to end up losing it anyway, because it's unprecedented. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg just ruled on a case last week saying this exact same thing on a unanimous decision that they can't do it. So,
well, the Heller decision ruled on the Second Amendment, and these lower courts ignore Heller all the time. And in addition to that, you look at Gavin Newsom. He's a federal felon. He's in violation of Title 8, 1324, and I could name about four or five other codes he's in violation of. The mayor of Oakland is not only a felon for violating Title 8, 1324, but she also warned the illegal aliens living in her city of a pending ICE raid, placing those officers in mortal danger, possibly. So, and nobody's in jail. I mean, look, here's the deal. There's a set of rules for them and a set of rules for you and I. And unless we stop that, we the people, because we have all the power. We've always had it. We just don't use it anymore. Unless we stop that, this is going to get worse and worse and worse until you can just put the name Joe Stalin on your governor, get down on your knees and wait for your crust of bread to be kicked off the back of the truck into the dirt in front of your house.
Well, you know, I think we might have to storm the Bastille at some point. I guess, you know, whether that's a figurative of speech, whether it's the noncompliance, whether it's showing up at the rallies, whether it's the voting booth. I mean, you know, eliminating the cheating. You know, it's going to have to be enough people get involved across the board in order to stop it.
Well, here's the deal. At these protests, if 100,000 people showed up to these protests and physically prohibited 100 CHP officers from dragging people off in handcuffs, well, that would be the end of that, wouldn't it?
I think that's where it's going to go, and unfortunately, that's going to end up with probably a few people losing their lives.
Well, it's a natural offshoot, because when you corner a dangerous animal, and an animal that doesn't know the difference between good and evil, the first thing they're going to do is lash out. And remember, they have all the claws in the teeth. You don't have any anymore, because you have to go down and have your background checked to buy a 22 bullet, while the state has fully automatic weapons that it uses to protect itself and its political influence over you. So you've been denied your ability, your constitutional ability, under the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution, the Bill of Rights, to defend against a tyrannical government. You've given that up. It's already gone. Legislation has been passed since 1968. Your rights have been gone for 30 years now, more, 50 years almost. So you already gave that up. The state is the only one lawfully authorized to possess the weapon, and they're not going to use it to defend against tyranny. They're going to use it to prosecute you.
Well, the one thing I see here, though, is that even though they've changed the law, they haven't got total control. We still have the people are still the ones that have the control, if nothing else, simply by numbers. We just have to start using it.
That's what I'm saying. People have the power under Article 2, Section 1 of the California Constitution, and under the Declaration of Independence, whenever government fails to serve these ends, it is the right and the duty of the people to alter or abolish government and institute government more fitting to their needs. California Constitution, government was formed to serve people, and whenever government fails to serve the people, it is their right to alter or reform government any time the public good demands it. Not at the next election, not with a referendum, not with a letter to Jim Nielsen or to Nancy Pelosi, but you have the right to alter or reform government any time the public good demands it. Now, here's the thing. When your so-called government, when the tyrannizers and tyrants in charge of you, the ones that own you and own your property and own the ability to tell you when you can and can't use it, how you can and can't use it, when they breach the social contract that we call Constitution, that makes the document null and void, and the people are free to seek self-help.
Yep.
That's what it's called when a contract has been breached. We are free right now because of the criminal behavior of Sacramento. We are free to seek self-help.
So they no longer have any lawful authority over us, is what you're saying, because of their tyranny. And, you know, it's that's what happened back in the days of King George. Basically, you're either going to live under the yoke of tyranny or you're going to decide not to follow the rules.
And I thought
government tried to take the place of God in the lives of the colonists. On April the 19th, 1775, 70 of them said no.
Yep.
And it cost some of them their lives, but it started a chain of events that ended in the greatest nation ever known in the history of the world. And if we want to preserve that heritage and preserve that culture and preserve that nation, it is time for people to say no and mean it, and you have the power to do it. Do not submit.
And with that, Mark, we do have a caller on the line. We've got Troy. Good morning, Troy.
Hey. Yes.
You have a question or comment for our guest?
Make it quick.
I just want to know if you could repeat the code that indicates that Gavin Newsom is a federal felon in regards to the immigration.
Title 8, Section 1324, harboring and shielding an illegal alien.
Okay, that was 18234?
Title 8. No, United States Code, Title 8, Section 1324.
Okay, we'll have a, repeat that again, please.
It's Title 8. Title 8. What's the section, Mark?
1324, 1324.
Title 8, 1324. Got it?
Section.
Got it. Thank you. All American right. Heroes. That's what you are. Heroes.
All
thank
right.
you.
Thank you. With that, we need to go to a break.
We do.
Go ahead, Sue.
Yeah. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Turtly awesome with the Turtle Bay membership. Get free access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and much more. Family memberships are just $90. That's less than $10 a month for a whole year of fun. Get yours today at turtlebay.org.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision.
Thankfully, it appears that Coachmaster Repair is an essential business and fully prepared to repair any minor or major damage to your vehicle. With the invasion of the coronavirus, Coachmaster is taking all precautions for the safety of our employees and our customers. We have closed all traffic through our lobby to ensure proper social distancing and will be disinfecting your vehicle upon arrival and before delivery. With the effects and response from the virus, we feel fortunate to be able to maintain all of our employees. They will be here to provide all services required for a proper and complete repair. These are uncharted territories. Let's all work together for a full, safe, and prosperous recovery.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Make this year turtly awesome with the Turtle Bay membership. Get free access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and much more. Family memberships are just $90. That's less than $10 a month for a whole year of fun. Get yours today at turtlebay.org.
Chasing rabbits, and you know you're
It's an airplane there. It's back in the vault.
I was going to say, boy, are we going back in time or what? That was like, whoa.
That's back when Grace Slick was hot.
Well, some of us didn't care about that, but there was other things. There was other people that were hot.
Never mind. Let's get back to the subject matter here. Quit the fooling around. So I guess we have a caller.
We do. We've got Nick on the line. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning. You know, if you guys want to see what the other side's doing, the liberals and the progressives here in California, you need to subscribe to the Reading Record Searchlight. And here's one article that I came across this morning. Governor Newsom wants to shrink prisons to help cut the budget. It seems he's got us in such a budget hole with his response to the Corona 19 pandemic that he wants to cut the prisons to save money, that we can't afford them anymore. And on top of that, he wants to have unspecified increases to sentencing credits that allows inmates to leave prison more quickly. He wants to shorten parole to 2 years maximum with credits they can earn, and sex offenders can get off in 18 months. Then he wants to close all the juvenile facilities in California, owned by the state of California, and send out $10 million to incentivize counties to take in these juvenile delinquents. And you know Shasta County will be right in line with that with their hands out. And when you bring in a juvenile, these group homes are famous for this. You know, they put them from out of the area. When you bring them in, generally their family follows. And when they get out, they stay there, especially in Reading with the generous benefits that we get. His revised budget reflects what Californians have known for a long time, that continued wasteful spending on failed prisons is a bad for safety and our budget. He wants to push for rehabilitation. And it seems to me that that's what the big failure is. But at the end of the day, what he's trying to do is get us to vote for the Schools and Communities First initiative here come November. And that's the one that is going to go against Proposition 13. And it starts off with the big commercial property owners, and they've even got the nerve to say that this won't affect, in fact, this will help small businesses. I don't know how they figure that the rent won't come up if they have to pay more taxes. And, you know, it just goes on and on. So I just wanted to warn everybody, there's a big push on, and they're going to make us more miserable, and they're touting this as this new money will go for training and hiring additional emergency responders because we can't simply afford them right now. So I just wanted to let everybody know you're getting worked and hunker down because things aren't going to get better anytime soon.
Well, what I'm telling everybody is this. This is not an invasion. This is an insurgency, and you need to wake up and realize it. This is an insurgency that is foreign to our government, wherever it comes from, doesn't matter. But the fact is that these people are trying to circumvent our liberties through any means possible, take control through any means possible, and they no longer have a valid, lawful, governing right over we the people anymore. What say you, Mark?
Never did.
Well, that's absolutely true, and President Lincoln said it best. He said, No army of Europe or Asia will be more powerful enough to take one drink out of the Missouri River. If we destroy ourselves, we must be the authors of our own suicide. And he's exactly right. We've destroyed ourselves from within because we have abdicated our liberty to those who would give us money. And if you just vote, they'll give you money. And if you're in the right class, you'll get money. And if you agree with the right things, your business will prosper. And if you don't, your business will fail because government picks all the winners and all the losers now. So all you have to do is promise people money and you get a compliant class of slaves who are willing to do your bidding, but you are nothing but a dog chained to your master's table waiting for him to flick a scrap off onto the floor so you can lap it up off the ground.
Well, they say that the root of all evil is the love of money. not the money. And I agree with that entirely. And I think that, you know, if you look back, the only time that Jesus ever became angry in the Bible is when he chased the money changers out of the temple with a whip and scourged them. Because that's where the bottom line is. This money's coming from nowhere. Where are they getting $3 trillion? They're just printing it. They're counterfeiting it. That's why back in the colonies, counterfeiting was a death sentence. Because whoever can control and counterfeit the money can also take over everything because they buy everything up. That's what's happened here.
Yes. And our real master, our absolute master, also said, wherever your treasure is, so will your heart be. So where is your treasure? Is it with your liberty and the future of your family and your children to be able to live good and moral lives and conduct their lives in a way that they find to be useful and helpful to themselves? Or is it with a bunch of people in Sacramento that do not live by the rules they assign to you? They're allowed to commit crimes, do whatever they want, get all the money in the world, as long as you keep quiet and keep your mouth shut and stay in your place. Well, which do you choose?
Well, the hottest places in hell are reserved for good intentions.
And we do have a caller on the line. We have Michael James.
Better hurry up and make it quick. We got 5 minutes.
We're counting down here. You got something for us, Mike?
Yeah, I just want to say voting. I don't know. You've been voting for the last 50 years, and what have it got you? You know, you're voting for these people. Because white, you're right. And they're all corrupting people, the politicians. And you voted for these people, and you still talking about voting. That has not worked. And you know, you know, you're going to have a problem accepting this system because this prideful system, you bought into it. Radio, like the guy said on the movie, the radio right side fire tire. As long as you got your coffee maker, your white sidewall tires, your home, and all these big trucks, you buying into this system. You paying them. You paying for this system. You paying them to choke you off. You have to receive from this entire system. Quit paying them. You're paying them to hurt you. You're voting, and that's not working. That wasn't 70 years that I've been on the planet. And you're constantly voting for what? It's got to be another way. You got to receive. And quit feeding these capitalists.
Well, I disagree with him.
Yeah.
When you get to the capitalists, it's not the capitalists' fault. You know, what are you going to
I can understand the frustration about the voting part because of all the corruption and ballot harvesting, and we can go on forever on
that. And we didn't mean
piece.
To cut you off, Michael. It wasn't that. We're out of time. We're down to 3 minutes here, so we don't have a choice. But maybe next week call back and we'll address that, because I think that you're missing some of the bigger points here. It's not just about voting. It's not just about the money, and it's surely not about the capitalism, because it's the capitalism. It's a free market. Capitalism, you're right, in a way, is a problem, but it's not because of the capitalism.
It's not evil.
It's because we don't have a free market. We don't have a free market anymore.
Is there anything that you want to get in the last few minutes, Mark?
Yeah, we only got a couple. Are you
still with just us? One thing. I think the only answer here, California is broken. It's irretrievably broken. It can't be repaired. There's no way. It's too far down the slop chute. The only way we can fix this is create Jefferson, the 51st state, and create a constitution that guarantees us liberty for 50 generations until some smart load of politicians figures out how to get around it. That's the only way for us to revive liberty in the former California is with Jefferson. And I think that the time is now. I mean, if we don't do it now, we're fools, and it will never be done in our lifetime.
Well, all right. There you have it.
Thank you for calling in and giving us an update and all the information. We appreciate it.
Yeah, well, I'd like to thank all the callers and all the participation that we had today, that people
we
are starting to wake
people,
up.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, wow, we're in the middle of a war here, and you better wake up and figure it out and get involved somehow.
Yeah. I want to remind people, speaking of which, about the rally next Saturday. On May 23rd at noon at the Capitol in Sacramento, and I don't know, we had the caller earlier about maybe ride sharing and all that, so maybe start connecting up with people.
So SOJ51.net or the Reading Patriot someplace, but start figuring out how to get involved in this, and as usual, it's the end of the show on Sunday, and don't expect God to cover for you. You have to step up. Those who know the truth are ignorant, but those who don't know the truth are ignorant. But those who know the truth say nothing are evil. You're born an original, don't die a copy. Remember, amateurs built the ark, professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force. And Force Like Fire is a dangerous servant.
And have a great week. And you've been listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.